We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert Breer, as always, joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Albert, things going bad, from bad to worse for the Browns here. They lose again to the Patriots. Some embarrassing moments from the coaching staff in this one. And now today, Freddie half asleep at his press conference and Baker screaming at reporters. Did you hear this yet, Albert?
I heard the Baker thing. I didn't hear Freddie's press conference. But, yeah, it sounds like they're giving you guys plenty to work with.
To us, it seems like, you know, I was thinking before, like, what would happen if all these things were said? Complaints about penalties, complaints about fines, getting mad at the media, screaming at all this stuff, if like it happened with other coaches. But you don't see this on a regular basis with quality teams, Albert. And we're seeing it every week with the Browns.
Something. Yeah, I mean, look, there's no excuse. Was it a half dozen false start penalties on Sunday? I mean, it's just, there's stuff like that. There's stuff like the fourth down situation where, it's hard to excuse it. And it's the type of thing that, quite honestly, can start to, you know, kind of rip at the fabric of a team. And so I don't think there's any question that there's a lot that needs to be cleaned up. And I think part of the issue now becomes, it's sort of exactly what everybody expected. You know, like, I'm not saying, and I picked them to go to the playoffs, but if there were going to be questions coming into the year, it was A, the offensive line, and B, how the pieces were going to fit together and how disciplined and together a team was going to have. And right now, like, it looks like those are the two primary issues. So these issues that I think any of us, you know, any of us on the outside could have seen, going back to the summer, are right there for everybody now. And that's, you know, sort of a troubling thing because you think that you're in this window where, you know, you've got your quarterback and a rookie contract, and yet, you know, those two things weren't taken care of.
You know, Albert, I've been a big fan of Freddie. I like the hire. I'm not going to be a phony. I like him as a guy. But some of the stuff that I see on game day, and you mentioned some of the things from even just Sunday, even today, he's bringing up these stats about, you know, first time starting quarterbacks, you know, having these numbers, and they're like really not good numbers, and he's using them like there's some substantial evidence as to why that they're going to be all prepared for this game.
Anyway.
They're meaningless stats.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just starting to wonder, these little things, is he in over his head? I mean, I think to this point, you can't argue otherwise.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, here's the thing. Like, I think that there was going to be a learning curve, you know, and when you promote a guy through the system and, you know, from quarterback's coach to offensive coordinator to head coach, really within the span of, what, like 4 months? I think you have to expect for there to be some bumps. And, I look at, like, the challenges on Sunday, and I'm like, the one thing that baffles me about that, you know, and look, like, I hate to bring everything back to New England, but they were the team on the other side. You know, Bill's got people upstairs. Like, Bill's not making the decision on the challenges. Bill's got people upstairs who are explaining to him exactly what happened and explaining to him exactly, okay, this is the chance of winning. I mean, he's making the final call, but there's somebody upstairs telling him how to make that decision. You know, like,
right. Okay,
like, here's what you need to see. Here's what you need to know. Here's what we see. Here's what we think the officials see. Now you can make a decision, right? And it makes me wonder about the infrastructure of the entire thing, you know, when you have two challenges like you had on Sunday. And so that's part of, I think there are, like, bigger questions here than just the head coach. It's like, how is the infrastructure in the building working right now? And how is it that they get in these situations and everything's sort of off kilter? I just think you have to look at, like, just how the staff's put together. Who's doing what? What's the responsibility on game day? Ultimately, the responsibility falls to the head coach. But I just, you know, there's part of me that wonders, is there a strong enough safety net there for a guy who you knew had, again, a steeper learning curve in becoming a head coach just because he hadn't been a coordinator for, you know, more than half a year.
And Albert, you know, you alluded to the fourth down thing. That is the most egregious of them all. First of all, not being prepared to run an offensive play there and then taking the penalty on purpose. Do you ever remember seeing that in all your years covering the NFL?
No, I don't. You know, I'd heard, like, you know, just, you know, some people in the front office were wondering about that. Like,
someone in the front office was worried about that situation?
I've seen these situations. I mean, look, here's the thing. Is like, sometimes head coaches have a tendency to overthink things, and sometimes head coaches have a tendency to kind of get in their own heads about these things. And I've seen wacky stuff work in the past, you know, and we've seen, like, coaches take safeties in the past, right? Like, that's a common one where it's like, oh, like, you know, like, here's what they were thinking, and yeah, it's a little off-center, and sometimes it works, you know? I mean, this just looked like – it's just not a good look. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think I would just tell you, like, it's just – I mean, I know that there's – when you saw it happen, it was – you're racking your brain for, okay, like, well, what is this – what are they trying to accomplish here? And I think it was really, really hard for people inside and outside the building to come up with an answer. I know for me, it was just kind of like you look at it and it's like – God, there are like three or four things I would have done before that. So certainly fair to criticize him in that situation.
Just to clarify, Albert, you're saying that within the Browns front office, there was...
I just heard... Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I just think, like, while the game... I'm not turning this in. There's not... Like, the building's not coming undone at this point.
Right, okay.
Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, it's just... I think that there were the same questions that you and I had
right.
in the game... Like they had, which I think is a fair. I mean, of course they did. You know what
sure.
I mean?
Sure. Yeah. Obviously.
Of course they did. So, you know, I just like that's the thing is like, and I think the big thing here for me is, do you have enough support for him on the field? Do you have enough people, you know, kind of working with him on situational stuff? Because that is such a huge part of being the head coach. You know, and you know, you're not only calling an offense, you're managing the team, you're managing situations. You know, I mean, it's a lot. And if you don't have extensive experience calling plays and there's a learning curve for you there too, I mean, that's hard, you know? So like how many games did he call plays in last year? What was it? Eight? 10?
Yes. Eight.
Yeah.
Eight. Okay. So he called plays in eight games, right? So that game on Sunday, and they're 2-5 now, right? So that would have been his 15th game calling plays in the NFL.
Yes.
And his eighth game as a head coach. So it's his 15th game as a play caller, his eighth game managing situations, his eighth game managing an entire 53-man roster. That's a lot, guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
That's a lot. And if you want to look at somebody who's in a similar situation, look at Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, who went from being a quarterback's coach to a head coach. And I think Zach's got potential to be really good, but they're 0-8. You know, I just think it's like, I think sometimes what happens in these, I just think that if you're going to roll the dice on someone like that, there's got to be, and I think Freddie's got a lot of great qualities that can make him a great head coach. But if you're going to hire somebody up through the ranks that way, you have to give him time to grow. And in a moment, like while he's growing, you have to have the infrastructure around him. And to me, like beyond just the fourth down call, I look at like the challenges, and that's like, where's the infrastructure? Where's the support? Now, the fourth down thing, I think it's hard to defend, right?
Yes.
But the challenges thing, like even the best head coaches in the NFL have like three or four guys that are supporting him on those, you know? Because it's impossible to see what's going on down in the field from field level as the head coach. You can't see everything, you know? And so, you know, I just think that, like, it's incumbent on the Browns organizationally to be giving the guy as much support as they possibly can so you can accelerate the growth. And I'm just, I don't know. I mean, Sunday made me question whether or not that's happening.
Can't disagree. Wow. Albert Breer is with us from the MMQB. So getting to Baker and, you know, his kind of outburst today, it's the same stuff. I mean, like, we know that that's who he is. He's passionate. He's emotional. But, you know, sometimes that's too much, right? And you're seeing on the field. You know, you see an aggressive team. You're seeing a team that leads the league in penalties. I think part of me thinks the team lacks composure because their leaders lack composure. Is that fair?
Yeah. I've always thought that, like, to some degree, the team takes on the personality of the quarterback. And there are great examples of it, right? Like, so Aaron Rodgers, when the Packers have been at their best, they've been kind of a playmaking, like kind of a team that plays unconscious. You know what I mean? Like, the Patriots, what are they? They're what Brady is. They're buttoned up. They're prepared. They're great decision makers. The Colts with Peyton Manning. The Broncos with Peyton Manning. What were they? Precision, right? Like, everybody out there is a technician. And so I do think that there's an element of you are what your quarterback is. And the best teams often, I think, reflect the personality of their quarterback. We've seen that a lot, right? And it makes me wonder if this can work the other way too. And I think it's what you're talking about, Justin, right? Like, where,
yes,
I don't think anything that Baker's doing is malicious. This is the way he's succeeded. This is the way he's gotten where he is. And hey, it's worked for him. And being defiant, you know what being defiant was for him? It was people telling him he couldn't play in the Big 12. Then getting to Texas Tech and starting as a true freshman walk-on. People telling him he couldn't start at Texas Tech. Transferring to a better school, to Oklahoma, and starting there. People telling him he couldn't be the first pick in the, couldn't play pro football and becoming the first pick in the draft. It's all of that, you know.
Yeah, but here's the difference now. You know, it was now he's still acting the same way, but not having success.
Right, and here's the thing. So, like, I understand it. Like, I understand why he wants to be himself. Like, it totally makes sense, right? Like, that this has got him where he's been, where he's gotten to, and that 100% makes sense. And I don't think that there's any sort of selfishness here. I think he thinks he's doing the right thing. And I don't think that his teammates hate him for it. I just wonder if there's that whole dynamic of your team takes on the personality of the quarterback.
Yep.
And if your quarterback is conducting himself this way, it gives everyone else the green light to conduct themselves that way. And while Baker may know how to control it and harness it, maybe there are other guys there that don't know how to control it and harness it. And it's not hard, guys, is it, to correlate some of this stuff with a team that looks a little undisciplined on the field and a team that makes mistakes and a team that's top of the league in penalties and turns the ball over. It's just, I mean, I'm not saying it's 100% that, but, and again, like, I don't think there's anything, this isn't malicious or a conscious mistake by Baker. I think Baker's doing what works for him. I think maybe part of this has to be, you know, when you're a quarterback in the NFL, you are part of management. And the way you act, the way you conduct yourself, that all flows down. And so, you know, I know, you know, the teams that have had the best quarterbacks, the work ethic, the preparedness, the competitiveness, all that stuff flows down. Baker's got a lot of those qualities. If some of his bad qualities, I think what he's got to one thing maybe is important that you recognize in a situation is there are some qualities that you have that may not be perfect for other people, that maybe in certain situations you have to dial down a little bit.
We're talking with Albert Breer, MMQB. Albert, what were the odds in Vegas of the only team acquiring a player on trade deadline day being the Dolphins?
Well, I don't know if they acquired a player so much as they acquired a contract.
That's right.
I
mean, a draft pick.
I don't
pick,
know that Keith Tlaib is ever actually going to show up to Miami. Right. So, hey, that was, by the way, you guys know the Browns are responsible for creating the template for that one.
Yes, smart. It's smart.
It's the Osweiler deal. Yeah, I mean, it's the Osweiler. It's through and through. It's they're trading the contract, and they get a fifth-round pick for taking on the contract. Hey, you know, I look, like, everything you heard the last 2 weeks is true. There was more activity over the phones than I can remember in a long time, you know, and I think it's sort of ramped up every year to year. There's tons of reasons for that. I think two things sort of killed the market. You know, number one, this is sort of an interesting dynamic that someone brought up to me, you know, afterwards yesterday, after 4 p.m. yesterday, said that, like, you know, so many players are getting dangled out there now that, you know, sometimes what happens is a GM will put a player out there, and now all of a sudden there'll be five or six really smart teams that want that player, and it'll get the GM to second guess himself, you know, and he'll be like, well, wait a second, if these guys really want him, then maybe I shouldn't trade him away. So I think that may have caused a little hesitancy with some of the bigger name guys that were out there. And then the second piece of it is I think it's just gotten more expensive now because there's more competition on the market. We saw what Tunsil and Ramsey went for. But even like Mohamed Sanu going for a second-round pick, Emmanuel Sanders going for a third and a fourth with a fifth coming back, you know, the prices are higher than they've been in the past. And so I think that that did something to kind of tamp down the market a little bit too. And so I think these sorts of discussions are going to continue to happen. But, you know, there are some dynamics that can sort of moderate that. And, of course, I think we saw the downside, too, of so many big names being thrown around yesterday with the way that everything ended up, you know, going down with the Jets. And now all of sort of the internal problems that the Jets are having to deal with as a result of it.
Albert, if the Browns can't win on Sunday, will Freddie Kitchens survive?
The week or the season?
No, I mean, just will he be? I mean, I find it hard to believe that if you can't beat the Broncos.
Right. They lose to the Broncos, they're winning four or five games.
You're two and six. I think the season's, I mean, it's already not great, but it's an absolute disaster. You have no chance to make the playoffs at that point in time. And with the lack of discipline, the things could really unravel.
I mean, especially with Brandon Allen at quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're committed to Freddie for right now. I hesitate to speak in finality with anything to do with Jimmy Haslam because I don't know. You know, I he's reacted to certain things that owners, you know, maybe shouldn't react to in the past. You hope he's grown through that. And this is going to sound crazy now, but I thought Mike Pettin showed some good signs early on in Cleveland, and, you know, things turned on him pretty quickly too. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you where we're going to be at the end of December. I don't know. But I do think that John Dorsey understands, like, this is his guy. And, you know, the owner has been paying lots of coaches over the last few years because of the short tenures of different staffs and everything else. And so, I think he survives. I think he survives the year. And, you know, I just don't know what to tell you right now about the end of the year because the owner's been unpredictable with these in the past.
Albert, good stuff as always, man. Thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.